Want to be a part of the conversation? Then let us know on the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. Talk that matters. Johnny Vidmore on today's news talk, TNT.
Welcome back to the Johnny Vidmore Show on today's news talk, TNT. I'm looking down in the TNT chat at the moment, and everybody's having a good laugh. Little gals in, of course. Wild Heather says, cracks me up when they say Joe is running for president. Dude can hardly shuffle. It's true enough. And the brain short circuits, of course. A dark commission like that very much, of course. That's what he said. Dark commission is a very good one. I like him very much. There's some really good people in there, including Village Farmer, who says, next election, I hope Congress just chooses some random nursing home. And we have all to debate about if a geriatric should be running for president because they won the nursing home raffle. Ah, that's good. Well, I'm glad to have you back on TNT. And let me say, the future is upon us. Don't think you can avoid it. You have to begin to prepare for the world of tomorrow, as they say in Futurama, which will see us all have to plan for the now, the short term, and the long term. That is what we got to do. Those three things. We can't just keep going in the direction we're going. We have to plan. There will be instability as the fourth industrial revolution takes hold. The fourth industrial revolution isn't a myth made up by Davos. They're just aiming to co-opt its direction and supply you with their vision of a new world, one of total mass surveillance. And we all know this. There are many people who can help you prepare for the new world. Unfortunately, competing visions are also heavily censored by the powers that be. You're not allowed to have a choice because it will lead to a free society. What we're seeing currently is the culmination of a post-World War II agenda coming to fruition. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We all know that Operation Paperclip and other such intelligence-driven programs led us to this point. We allowed the fascists to design our future, while at the same time we claimed victory over fascism. We allowed the communists to design our economy, while at the same time claiming victory over communism. In fact, we have become everything we're supposed to despise. It seems to be human nature to devour something that makes us sick and then design our menu to be limited to a range of such repulsive dishes. Because we acquiesce so easily to these measures, they're able to continue applying their restrictions to our lives. We find that as soon as we say stop with enough force, they adapt to use smoke and mirrors to introduce the same sort of policies via the back door. Don't let them in the front door. Don't let them through the back door. Don't let them in at all. For this, you must do two things in particular. Prepare for the near future and prepare for the long term. We all have become a lot wiser, and we all have to become a lot wiser and much more savvy if we want to resist, and resist we must. Don't build your fallout shelter or your safe room yet. Change your mental state first. You must be able to think rationally if you want to defeat the agenda. Prep your mind before you start buying dry food for the bunker. Learn to use logic. Study Socrates, Aurelius, and other philosophers who can give you a good grasp of basic logic and reasoning until you have created a mental shield which they cannot overcome. One of the most important steps towards mental fortitude is to learn about fallacies. Learn who lies, how lies are wielded, and how to call them out for what they are, a technique which is still good, which steals your good sense from you, which steals your good sense from you, and which uses your bad sense against you. In learning about logic and fallacies, you will suddenly discover that you have a new superpower. You will be able to see through the lies. You will be able to see poor reasoning and you will be able to vocalize an alternative route. Your people need you, your friends need you, your family needs you. They need you to reveal to them the truth in words they can understand and accept. At the moment, you may be shouting at them, begging them, screaming aloud and flailing your arms as you do it, and they still don't pay any attention. Instead, exchange all of that madness and angst with ways to explain what was previously inexplicable. Learn how to be rational and calm when you respond, but also make them think for themselves. If there's anything you can do for others which will change their world, it's learning how to give them the tools to use their own logical mind. Because at the moment, the world is on fire. And when the fires rage, logic takes a back seat. Now, here we go. Writers, on the next section, writers from a Canadian video game development and consultation studio who have recently become the target of online users who accuse them of promoting a woke agenda are dismissing the allegations as merely far-right conspiracies. Here with the story, joining me once again is TNT News producer Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus.
Clashing on the controversies.
It's a woke society, and I am fed up with it.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
So are we all far right, Ruckus? Is this true?
This is very interesting because I'm not a big gamer myself. I have played video games in the past, but I'm not all into it. But the world certainly is. In fact, the entire world of entertainment is a pretty big deal. A lot of us like movies, television. I'm kind of a fan of books myself. And then, of course, the video games. And again, video games, huge. We're not just talking like the PlayStations, Nintendo, Xbox. It's very big on PCs. PC gaming's huge. And now, of course, mobile gaming. So this is a huge thing. Lots of people are employed. It's probably just as big, if not bigger, than Hollywood, okay? And we've probably seen the problems that have been facing all of these things I've been talking about, like Hollywood, Netflix series, television. You know what they say, Johnny, it's all fun and games until someone loses an eye and or someone wants to bring up identity politics and just ruin it for everybody. That's what we've got going on. I think there's a hashtag going around. They're calling this Gamergate. I haven't been paying a lot of attention to it. I do have a friend, shout out to my friend, who brought this news to my attention a couple weeks ago. But I was like, I can't really talk about that on TNT. It's not really news. Well, it kind of is now because politics have been involved and we have media outlets such as The Blaze talking about it and others because there is a fight going on. We have one saying that they're a woke company and the other one is saying, oh, that's nothing but so they're like, you're far left, you're far right. I'm like, the adults have clearly left the building on this one. And this is the news that we have to deal with. But it is interesting. And I'm going to get right into it. What we were talking about here. So the company is called Sweet Baby Inc. Okay. And there's a handful of writers there. They've been accused of injecting diversity, equity, and inclusion. That's right. The dreaded DEI narratives inside of mainstream titles. And now they're coming out and saying, oh, all of this backlash against their projects is just those crazy far-right people. Again, Sweet Baby Inc. is the company. They have been dominating headlines in tech circles after a community of gamers formed a group to point out which projects the company has worked on, you know, kind of like trying to inspire a boycott thing, I'm suspecting here. The gripe among video game players has been that Sweet Baby Inc. painfully adds DEI storylines into popular games such as Spider-Man 2 and God of War Ragnarok. At the same time, the co-founder of the company, also one of the writers, I believe, David Bedard, has declared that backlash from the gaming community is part of a far-right harassment campaign. Here's what he wrote on LinkedIn. Quote, for the past 4 months, my company, Sweet Baby Inc., has been targeted by a far-right harassment campaign / conspiracy theory. This is a tough situation for me, my co-founder Kim Belair, our entire team, and our collaborators. More than the frustrations caused by the harassment and the precautions we are putting in place as a result of that, the toughness comes from the fact that this entire campaign is based on, wait for it, everybody, misinformation. Misinformation so wild and left field, and then he puts in parentheses, or right field, I guess, that it's impossible to even engage with to combat it, end quote. The misinformation, the company has alleged, comes in the form of claims that Sweet Baby Inc.'s predominant work is pushing DEI narratives. Co-founder Belair argued that, quote, people can't imagine that we might do anything else but DEI. They can't imagine that we're just talented writers. He continues, quote, we spoke with press to clear things up about exactly what we do and how we do it, end quote. That was reported by an outlet called That Park Place. He goes on to say, quote, adding our voices to this conversation felt necessary because what is happening to us is something that has happened before in this industry and will happen again. It happens to not just us, but also to countless other devs, players, journalists, and creators, end quote. This consistent position is a peculiar one for the self-described, this is how they describe themselves, quote, inclusion-focused narrative and consultation company, end quote. It's in the name. The company's site notes that its consultation process includes a, quote, multitude of perspectives, end quote, while bringing in, quote, diverse voices to solve diverse problems, end quote. Let that one mess around in your head for a second. Some of this just doesn't make sense, does it? Its website also states that the company provides, quote, cultural consultation, sensitivity and inclusivity reading, risk and opportunities assessment, and more, end quote. In addition to boasting that it can, quote unquote, assemble and lead teams of, quote, new and marginalized voices, end quote, the company also provides resources for, quote, new and marginalized talent, end quote, with the potential to, quote, change the industry if given the proper support, end quote. While individual cases of misconduct toward the company are likely present and, of course, inexcusable if elevating to illegal harassment, the overall sentiment from the gaming community is that they simply don't like DEI-infused video games. Elon Musk himself, owner on X, he replied to a tweet from UFC middleweight champion Sean Strickland. He said something about, quote, you guys, the video game industry is leftist cesspool. I am the definition of what these people hate, something like that. And Elon Musk replies, quote, Sweet Baby Inc. is an evil blight on the gaming industry. All they do is make games terrible and try to cancel people. They cannot go broke soon enough, end quote. Whoa, strong words from Mr. Mux. But what say you about all this, Johnny?
Well, I've experienced all of this. I used to work on the games department once upon a time, and all of the people who, but before wokeism, I worked in a Virgin Megastores, doing stuff like playing Rock Band on stage and stuff, and encouraging people to come up with me and etc. But a lot of the people who I worked with, I don't speak to anymore. Well, they don't speak to me because, quite simply, they're all woke. It seems that their media was already the media of computer games. The medium of computer games was already kind of brainwashing all of these guys well in advance, years before. I think that it comes up now and people are saying about it now, oh, look, these people are really doing it. And the idea that you know, they're a victim of the far right, they don't understand incorporating an ideology that people find offensive makes the other side a victim too. So there's two victims in this, isn't there? There's the people who are the victims of woke culture and the people who sit in the rooms full of people who all say the same and all seem like an automaton, which is what wokeism is. So I find it hard because I think nearly every single, it's not just games, nearly every single, if you go into an office space nowadays, it's a lot of it is everybody's chilling around, relaxed, cool, all judging each other and their and what they do. But if you say it out loud, then you're evil and horrible. So it's a really hard one. It's a lot of mollycoddling, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, from what I've seen from most gamers, if you actually ask them and say, hey, look, it's anonymous, no one's looking, you can say whatever you want, which is more important to you? Are you really focused on the fact that the character you're controlling is has been consulted upon and is a true ideal representation of some marginalized person, maybe even looks and acts like you? Or do you, like most gamers, just want to, you know, especially if you're a dude, run around playing a chick with big breasts? You know, I mean, gaming is such a silly, juvenile, fun thing. It's supposed to be fun and casual, and none of this should matter. And it's just disgusting that it's gone this far to infect video games. So I look at it like a bunch of kids bickering while the people who like to consume these things are the ones who are being left behind. And their voices don't seem to matter at all to the people who make the games, Johnny. That's probably the saddest part of the story.
Yeah, thanks for that, Adam. I tell you, I'm going to go back and go and play some old school Grand Theft Auto where the NPCs walking around just like people are out on the streets nowadays seem like predictive programming. And where everything's a little bit of a far-right conspiracy. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back soon on today's News Talk TNT.
TNT's James Freeman.
Now that I'm sitting on the other side of the fence, I see the budget in a very different light. I find the discussions and leaks in the press in the weeks running up to the budget totally patronising. You know, will he, won't he, give us some tax cuts? When the reality is that nothing in the budget will make any material difference to anyone, pretty much. That's usually the story. It is a game of musical chairs where the government giveth with one hand and taketh with the other. And we're all reminded about how little money that we've got left in our pockets.
James Freeman on today's News Talk TNT.
The Irish government is proposing a law known as the Hate Speech Bill that threatens free speech. This law could have dire consequences for our democracy.
Next month, and then on to the next week.
This law will have uncertain effects on artistic and musical expression. Please support us. It could stifle the activity of public campaigning on political and civil issues, and also curtail speech relating to topics about religion, ethnicity, sex, and gender.
You could even be jailed for possessing documents, cartoons, or memes on your devices, even if you never read them or intended on sharing them. Mere possession could make you a criminal under this law. Help stop this law. Visit www.freespeechireland.ie/take action to bin the hate speech bill.
Are we on the air?
Am I on the air?
You're on the air.
On the air 24/7. Your news talk giant, TNT.
Welcome back, my friends. And for this first guest for the second hour of the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT, I'll be speaking to Alex Demetrios of spacecommune.com. Alex Demetrios is an independent journalist, podcast host, and researcher focused on the intersection of geopolitics and energy. He believes that nuclear energy, in particular, is a critical building block for national sovereignty in the 21st century. And I can agree with that for sure. Alex, we've talked briefly on messages, but it's an honor to speak with you. I love your direction and your focus. So how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Johnny. You know, something exciting going on today. We actually just put out part one of a documentary series that we're doing about the issues you're talking about, you know, energy and geopolitics. So it's going to be a 5-part series. And part one just came out today about focusing on Cuba and their struggle with energy and food over the last several decades. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. But that is going on today. That's exciting, too.
What's it called again? Because I talked about this with Fox Green recently as well.
It's called Energy/Empire.
Okay, awesome. I'm looking forward to that because that is something that is going to be right up my street for sure. Okay, well, how would you describe what you're trying to do at Space Commune then?
I think bringing a perspective about how energy works and how it intersects with geopolitics. So I think sometimes in our quest to find the bad guy or to quest to find how the little person is being taken advantage of, taken for a ride, we lose sight of how one of the core organizing principles of the elite is this Malthusian agenda that is intended to starve the Western way of life, which is to have a high amount of energy per capita, to have people have abundant food and electricity and lights, refrigeration. And then concurrently, they also want to keep the rest of the world from developing to that level. And we see that with geopolitics, with China's Belt and Road Initiative. China's Belt and Road Initiative is about helping developing countries increase their sovereignty by enabling their ability to do trade, to have roads, to be able to develop factories, hospitals, things like that. And same thing with Russia, with Rosatom. They do a great job of exporting nuclear technology for energy to developing countries. And the United States, until recently, I think, has been focused on preventing countries and sabotaging them from developing those achievements and those capabilities. So with Space Commune, we're trying to demystify that in the dissident media sphere, where I think sometimes people have just, they don't understand how energy works enough, how important it is, and they can fall for some of the narratives about specifically about renewable energy and about going 100% organic with food. You know, something with organic food, a lot of, you know, there are people in the dissident sphere, for example, Bobby Kennedy, who say that we should have no fossil fuels in our agriculture. And that would be a disaster. You know, that would be it. We'd be all organic, but then our ability to feed 8 billion people would be reduced to nil. We'd be able to feed about 1 billion or 2 billion people. That is a preposterous policy proposal. So what we're trying to do is demystify those things and just bring some more scientific vigor and to say that we want people to become locked in pods eating bugs because that's what science says they should do, but bringing just a pro-human orientation to science and technology, because technology is not inherently bad. It's the people wielding it or the agendas that are being promoted by technology.
So do you think people like RFK Jr. there, when they're pushing these ideas, that they're doing it literally with Malthusian intent?
I can't get inside their minds, but I think what they're taking advantage of is on the surface, it is a pro-human idea to say, well, you should never be in any contact with anything that can ever contaminate your body or cause you any kind of problem whatsoever. But the reality is these are already trade-offs that we make every day to have a modern society. And so the thing is that what these people are doing, what I consider to be these kind of Pied Pipers in the dissident media sphere, is that they're going right up to the edge and saying and daring society to adopt their ideas, knowing that it will never actually be adopted. But to keep people on this treadmill of thinking that they're that having electricity and having abundant food is bad because it means that they're being poisoned. And so I don't know if there's a directly Malthusian intent, but I do think that if their ideas were actually carried out, it would be a very, very dark future for humanity.
When you mentioned the dissident media sphere, are you talking about all of just the independent media and the alternative media bundled up into a basket, or do you have a better definition for that?
Well, I don't mean all. I think in specific context, lots of people are doing lots of good work. But I do think that there are some assumptions that people make because they're operating on a they're taking shortcuts perhaps to understand things where they say, oh, well, the government wants you to think this, or there's a big company out there that's pushing nuclear energy, so they're automatically bad. And that therefore, that's why all nuclear energy is bad. I think there are just some shortcuts that people make that, you know, shortcuts that go along with some of the assumptions we make if we're not being platformed on CNN and MSNBC and The Guardian. There are some shortcuts that are taken, and sometimes it leads to ideas that are not a good idea.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely with you with these sort of like people on the indie media have big blind spots like that. Listen, we'll talk more about this after a short news break here on Talk News, today's news talk, even on TNT. Ah,
good news, people.
Now TNT Radio News.
Here is your headline.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. New York City initiated a $53 million pilot program on March 25th, distributing prepaid debit cards to illegal immigrants, confirmed by Mayor Eric Adams' office. The Albanese government in Australia has committed $1 billion to establish a solar manufacturing hub at a former coal site, aiming to boost domestic solar panel production through subsidies and grants.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, vote one. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT. Hey, so what is your background in? Have you always been a space monkey, Alex, or were you living a normal life once upon a time?
No, I've always been interested in journalism and writing and research. It was just in the last few years, though, that I've sharpened my analysis, and I've learned some things. I've tried some things with especially in the leftist world, and then seeing the contradictions and some of the consequences of those policies actually being enacted. It's not to say that I'm a right winger or left winger. I'm just interested in looking into the truth and telling some of the real stories of things that are unquestioned narratives today, but figuring out why they're unquestioned now and what happened leading up to them. So one of them, you know, that I emailed about, like that, you know, today is the 45th anniversary of Three Mile Island, which is the most famous nuclear accident on American soil that happened today in 1978. So 1979. Today's the 45th anniversary. And that's always been something where when I was, you know, just like, supporting Bernie Sanders, he would say, "Oh, we don't need nuclear energy. We need 100% renewable energy. It's too dangerous." And you know, I'd say, "Okay, yeah, sure. That sounds good. You know, we don't want radiation. Radiation's invisible. It's scary. You know, it causes cancer." And I didn't really understand it. So our latest article on our Substack talks about this, where I do a deep dive into what led up to Three Mile Island and what bred this kind of nuclear paranoia. Because the thing is, with Three Mile Island, I say it, everyone knows what it is. It's this big, scary nuclear accident, but nobody died. And in all the dozens of studies that have happened afterwards, there's no proof that anybody got any excess cases of cancer directly from the radiation. The cancer rates remained very similar in the surrounding communities after the accident. In fact, even people might have their lives saved because they were checking for cancer so much that they caught cancers that they wouldn't have caught. So our latest piece goes into this, and just tracing back to the time of MK Ultra at Stanford in the 1950s, at the same time, there was this group called the Sequoia Seminars, where a lot of overlap between the MK Ultra program and this program, where there's this group of people who all ended up being very influential in the Aquarian, human potential, Esalen type of movement, that were taking acid, experimenting with it. And they were starting to experiment with this thing called ego stripping, where they'd have these guided LSD trips to try to find, you know, eliminate their mental blocks and evolve into higher human beings. And along the way, they figured out, oh, we can make people that were engineers into total hippies. We can make these people that were passionate about building things into just wanting to be one with nature. And they applied these learnings. You know, they didn't need, after a certain time, they didn't need LSD anymore to do it. And they built what some would say is a cult, or others would say is a more accurately a Gnostic sect, or something like that, called the Creative Initiative Foundation. And what the Creative Initiative Foundation did was that they were very influential in the United States in the 1970s about building the anti-nuclear movement. And what this movement did was that they created just a hysteria about nuclear energy, because plutonium is mostly a man-made element, and therefore it could not have come from God. And they kind of ran with that and built a anti-nuclear movement across the entire country that crested in 1979 with the Three Mile Island incident, where 12 days before the nuclear accident occurred, a very famous movie came out called The China Syndrome, starring Jane Fonda. And, you know, in the 1970s, what we had seen was, due to a number of factors, the United States was slowing down in building nuclear reactors when they were supposed to be the way out of relying on oil, relying on global trade for our energy. And this was supposed to be the blueprint for other Western countries. But in the 1970s, building up to 1979, nuclear energy was declining. And Three Mile Island, combined with the release of this movie called The China Syndrome, was the main catalyst in killing it off completely. There wasn't a nuclear plant built in the United States for 40 years after these things occurred. And when you look at these two things, you know, if you read the article, the Creative Initiative Foundation consulted on the China Syndrome movie, and it described a set of events that were extremely unlikely to happen. And they just also described literally in the movie that a nuclear accident at one of these reactors would make a state the size of Pennsylvania uninhabitable. The movie comes out. 12 days later, the exact sequence of events happens. Unexplainable things happen at this plant that could not have been an accident. Things like a valve being stuck open, a wheel that's needed to turn something is missing. The exact sequence of events happens 12 days after the movie comes out nationally. And these two events together, you know, it's a very anomalous little incident at this plant. But because everyone had seen the movie China Syndrome, they thought, oh, this means that the reactor is melting down. Pennsylvania is going to be uninhabitable. So it caused this national panic. And so today, even though no one died and there was no cancer caused by it, the Three Mile Island incident is just remembered as something bad. Nobody can really explain why, but it's because of this 20-year program that was rooted in MK Ultra, LSD, brainwashing techniques to build an anti-nuclear movement in the United States, and ultimately to do this kind of giant, this giant media and Hollywood psyop to convince people that nuclear energy was just too dangerous and could not be trusted.
This is
brilliant and fascinating for me. This is just up my street. I'm really interested in what happened in the 70s. Listen, we've only got a minute left, but I'm very interested with how all of this fear-mongering and, you know, and the formation of the fear-mongering, the reasons to fear-monger were all created in the 70s, along the same time as things like computer modeling was being created, especially for pandemics and like, and the same thing would happen. They're trying to spark these disasters, these fears that everybody's going to die. Just in the last, say, 30 seconds or so, just a question. How did you and Fox Screen get together? He's going to be coming on the show tomorrow to explain a bit more about the documentary you mentioned. How did you originally form a partnership then?
Oh, we're married, we're together, and we work together, and we, in the regular business world, and also we're on this journey together with Space Commune. That's it. It's working pretty well. We're able to make things that are greater than the sum of our parts. And, he's a brilliant person that has opened my eyes to a lot of stuff.
He is. And that is a beautiful thing to hear. I'm really happy to hear that, Alex. And you cheered me up today and you made me happy. Thanks. I hope I have you on again soon, and I'll enjoy talking to Fox tomorrow as well. Thanks for coming on, my friend.
Thank you.
Awesome. We're going to be back just after this short break here at today's News Talk TNT.
Hi. I'm your retirement fear, but don't be scared. You're still in pre-retirement.
Pre-retirement? Does that mean I have more time to plan?
Precisely. Here, this is pre-retirement.org.
Retirement savings options. Potential tax breaks.
Yep. Boo.
Oh, I could build up savings for my side hustle. This isn't scary. I'm doing it.
You got this.
Visit thisisretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan.
I'm Belinda, and this is Willard, and we were adopted in 2021. When we first met Todd, he was singing a song, and I was like, wow, look at this kid with the biggest smile, and he has a big heart to match.
The energy you give Todd, you get it back from Todd.
Yes.
Todd's a joy.
Yes,
Todd's
he is.
Really is a great joy.
I love him. You and you.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org.
Talk that matters. Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk, TNT.
Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk, TNT. I am going to talk with someone who's it excites me. To be honest, my dad went through a bit of prepping at one point and always had a larder full of dry food, mainly because it was the cheapest food and he didn't want to pay for anything. But I'm about to speak to Chris is the founder of My Ready Family, which provides a family prep plan, giving you a step-by-step guide to help accelerate your family's preparedness for any crisis. You can find him at familyprepplan.info. We're likely to see a crisis or two arise in the future. So that's not a surprise. You can follow his work also on X on @myreadyfamily. I love that name. How are you doing today, Chris? Are you ready?
Johnny, I'm always ready, trying to be more ready every day. And my vision is to help families all over the world, not just America, also prepare themselves and their families and their friends and their communities for whatever the globalists have coming down the pipe for us.
Oh, they got a load coming down the pipe for us, my friend, and they've mapped it out and they've shown us all. I mean, channels, I've gone through all of the World Economic Forum's slides from about 2011, and this is all mapped out. Everything they've got is mapped out. So it's really interesting that you've included family within this, which I wholeheartedly agree with. How do you prepare your kids for what's to come without increasing their anxiety levels?
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of the stuff I didn't start out talking with my kids about Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates and the globalists and everybody that's out there trying to poison everything that we ingest on a daily basis. It was just be prepared. I live in the northern part of the U.S. Blizzards are a real thing. And so I talked about being ready if we had a big blizzard. If we were in Texas in the U.S., it'd be a tornado. If we were in Florida, it'd be a hurricane. Just talking in very basic terms about how it's up to everybody to be prepared and not just trust the government to come save us, because they won't. And right now, most governments are actively trying to destroy us, destroy liberty, destroy humanity. And so with kids, as well as wives and friends and family members, you kind of got to temper your justification to the audience for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. I expected you've got a pretty, you've got to be, you can make these things fun, whatever, because, you know, to be honest, there's no better family member for end of the world scenarios than kids. They love to think about those things. I watch the movies and the cartoons. It's full of it, isn't it? So I salute you for that. I do. Where did this idea originate?
The idea originated, boy, that's a good question. I think it's about 2009 when I first started socking away food in boxes. I read a book by a guy named William, I think it's Forstein. It was about an EMP hit in the U.S. 1 second after, or one day, I think it's 1 second after, where EMP hits. It's about a community in rural North Carolina and how and what they did to survive. And it opened my eyes to the precarious situation that the entire continent in the U.S. is in, and any continent for that matter, in the context of an EMP attack. But it woke me up to not just thinking about an EMP attack. I started doing research on the fiat currency of all central bank fiat currencies, and how they're just fake, and the bubble has only been inflated more in the U.S. in the 15 years since I kind of started thinking about it. And that was after I'd left the military. I'd worked for a defense contractor, saw the debauchery in the defense industry in the U.S. and I went into private enterprise as an entrepreneur. And so all these different, I guess, milestones in my life started turning me on to the fact that we could not trust the government, and now take it through 2020 and beyond, and the puppet government in the U.S. and so many abroad. I've seen the progression in their plans, and I've gone to those same websites, the WEF, the UN. This stuff is all out there for anybody that wants to spend a half hour of research, reading their own documents, watching their own videos of Bill Gates on YouTube, and you name it. They are not holding it back. It is overt. It's overtly Luciferian what they're trying to do. And so over the course of time, after reading that one book, I got more and more motivated to prepare my family. I am just a suburban dad. I got two kids. I started doing this when they were smaller. Now they're late teens, and they help out and they understand what's going on. And so it's just a matter of taking those steps that any person can within the talent and resources that God has given to them, and trust Him with the rest. But it's an ongoing process, no doubt.
Is your wife on board with this, or does she just go along with it to keep the peace?
Well, I guess there's probably a little bit of both, because she goes along probably to the extent of what I want to do. I got to throttle back, and she acknowledges the need to do it. But she actually was really the genesis behind most of our collective, I shouldn't use that term, but our team understanding of the world in which we live. Even before 2020, my wife started watching Dave Janda and a couple of the other good truthers have been out there for over 10 plus years. I live in the same area as Sean of SGT Report, so I've known him for a while and following his work. It was that Havore called me up after I was on SGT Report just over a year ago with the first time on the family prep plan. And so my wife, she really got me into the truth media, and I was the denier initially, but going into COVID, you know, things really, my eyes opened rapidly. And so she is totally on board. She knows what they're trying to do. And that is a great comfort for me. I can't imagine being in a marriage where one or the other was not on board and was calling their spouse a conspiracy theorist. My wife knows that we're both conspiracy recognizers, and so we're united, which is a huge blessing.
God, yes. Lord, yes. My God, I pray that I find a woman who is that prepared in mentally for what is happening and what was to come, because the idea of being alone in this, especially with your partner, and I know people, I do a lot of research on articles, and some people who help me with research who come along and, you know, say, oh, I'm really interested. For instance, there's someone who's researching the Fabians at the moment, but he can't tell his wife. He has to wait for her to go to bed before he's allowed to phone me, because otherwise she'll find out he's doing conspiracy stuff and she'll be very angry. I can't even imagine what that's like to live with. However, he's one of the nicest guys I've ever met, so I can understand why she married him. So when do you think society will change in a way that makes what you're doing now and the prepping a total necessity?
Well, I'll talk specifically to the U.S., but a lot of this can be applied because Australia or the EU, the UK, in a lot of ways, they're ahead of us in terms of the mass invasion of military age males. I did a video recently and I put it on the familyprepplan.info website, and it's called The Two Biggest Reasons. And the first big reason is the unchecked borders, no border control, which applies in the US as well as EU and elsewhere. And that's just, it is truly an invasion designed to overwhelm, number one, the voting system, number two, all systems in the Cloward-Piven strategy, which your audience is probably familiar with, to recreate a capitalist system into a Marxist utopia. But really, the third biggest way that they're here is to occupy. We're having a lot of stories in the U.S. about illegals squatting in homes and doing research on Zillow and different real estate websites of coming in and just taking over homes. And the commie governments in many states are allowing it and even locking up the homeowners when they're trying to get their property back. So the invasion of military age males is the biggest thing that's going to drive it. And then the impending collapse of the fiat US dollar, talking about the US, but globally it's no different. Because if you think mathematically, specifically to the US, with $34 trillion in debt, printing another $1 trillion every 90 to 100 days, never going to balance a budget, never going to pay it off. It's gonna fold at some point. It's amazing how they've been able to pump up this bubble so much just with fake faith with the corporate media, that people are still thinking that the U.S. dollar is money. But at some point, that's gonna fail. And like I think I talked about on Havore's show, the other way to think about the U.S. dollar is from a biblical mindset. The Bible says that a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, and the U.S. printed fiat currency is the falsest balance in world history, because they can print it and the plebs cannot. And so biblically and mathematically, the dollar is going to fall. And so between having millions of military age invaders in our country, in the U.S., plus a fiat system that will fold, that promises collapse. Plus the election, I can't imagine us getting through 2024 and not having something major occur, because you and I both know the globalists want to recreate the system into a totalitarian government with central bank digital currency so they can track every single transaction we make. So they're going to engineer a collapse, and all the big pieces are in place right now for them to do it.
I can't agree with you more. I mean, I mentioned already on this show once, someone I had on a couple of days ago, or maybe it was yesterday, oh God. Time. But Parallel Mike from the Parallel Systems broadcast, who talks very much about the Great Taking and how all of this is being set up to collapse all at the same time. And then they're going to suddenly come along and say, well, don't worry, we have the replacement, don't we? All ready for you. Come into our arms. And this is what they like to do. Can we stop this? Because a lot of when you actually research things like the Great Taking, you see that there doesn't seem to be a way of stopping, and everybody is looking at what you're doing, which is preparing for the eventuality, what's definitely just around the corner.
Yeah, a lot of people think that we can vote for Trump and he's going to fix everything, or we can join together at the local level and change our school boards and our counties and our state governments in the U.S. and that kind of thing. I used to be part of that. Let's take back the Republic, even if it means we got to grab our muskets and start marching on Washington. I just don't think that way anymore. I think individual, like from a husband and a dad standpoint, my number one responsibility, God-given responsibility, is to lead, protect, and provide for my family, my friends, my community on the local level. What we're up against is such a leviathan. They have unlimited funding. They are supernaturally, satanically controlled globally by this Borg hive mind type collective that's all working towards totalitarianism. And they've got 80% of the population just completely acting as drones, not thinking, not using logic, purely based on either emotion or just what the media is telling them to do. So the task of changing it, of coming together to change it in a natural way, in my mind, is beyond my ability, certainly. But I can do things on a daily basis to help my friends and family that maybe don't see all these things right now, and help them logically put the pieces together so that they understand that they can either understand history or trust their government. They can't do both. Once you come to that conclusion and you enter into any enter with skepticism into anything the government or the media is telling you, then things start to make sense. So I can do that verbally on the local level while I also prepare my family for whatever it may be, a natural disaster or a man-made disaster. And that means getting things stocked up, and not only stocking up, but knowing how to use those items and also having a plan.
Indeed. And I noticed the term community come up there, and that's a really important thing. How do you balance? Because self-reliance is massively important, but also still having some form of community, because if you're out in the middle of nowhere, you've got all the stuff, other people are going to want to take your stuff. So, you know, lots of preppers go, I need to buy a house right in the middle of nowhere and have a load of guns. But if there's 25 people with more guns come to your place and take all of your stuff, then it's all been for a waste of time. How do you balance that up, prepping and self-reliance and community?
Community is totally critical. If you hypothesize how this would go down, after any kind of a collapse or widespread lawlessness, even in the context of the 2020 riots that we experienced in the U.S., Portland, Minneapolis, etc., the anarchists, commies, Marxists, they got together and banded together very, very rapidly. And so if you have any kind of a lawless situation, there's going to be gangs. They're talking about cannibal gangs in Haiti right now. Now, whether that's just a CIA disinformation plot to discredit a group that's trying to take a country back from colonial rulers, I don't know. But people will gang up. The enemy, the bad folks, will definitely gang up. So just like you say, if I'm on a ranch and I have me and my family, I can't provide 24/7 security. I got to sleep. I got to rest. I can't cover the entire property. You need to have a team that can do that. So whether you're in a suburb or more rural, you need to have a network of like-minded people, ideally, that will align to that vision of maintaining liberty and protecting the property rights of those around you. So if you're in a suburb, hopefully you've got some friends nearby. When people gather in cities, wickedness increases, it seems. The farther people get away from working the land, the more progressive and comfortable and sloppy and liberal people get. And so if you're in a major city area, it may be harder to find people that are liberty-minded, but you just got to find a team so that if something goes down, you can have a rendezvous plan, whoever's got the best facility for storage or for defending it, gather there, whether it's a rural house or on the edge of a city or location within the city. But if you're in a city, the big thing will be to get out of the city, because after 1 or 2 weeks of supply chains being closed out, people are going to be shooting each other over loaves of bread and acting even more like savages. They're already acting like savages in cities. After a week of being hungry, who knows what's going to go on? So people in cities are going to have to egress the cities as far away as they can, because there's going to be a couple million people in every metropolitan area trying to get rural to where the food is growing. So bottom line is you got to have a plan. And that's what I've tried to articulate in this 7-part simple family prep plan, to give people a step-by-step practical way to prepare themselves.
Yeah, well, it sounds like liberty starts from the bottom up, and that you have to have that strong base and work to increase it so that everybody has that same idea. Listen, we've got a minute left before we're out of time. Tell us as many tips quickly as you can on prepping, on the basics for anybody that they can do already. What would you say the first steps are?
I would drive somebody, of course, to my website, but they're only because there's a free outline you can get there that gives you all seven categories and a lot of the meat of all seven of the categories. There's also a video, top 10 immediate action items, things you can do right now, and it walks you through the top 10 immediate things to perform. And that's all free. You can go check on that. And if they want to get the full family prep plan for $25, they can click on that box. But the most important thing is to have an awareness and an understanding, which is what the digital army, like guys like you are doing, in giving people information to understand the threat. And then you got to, when you understand the threat, you can better prepare for it by getting real money, stocking up on food, stocking up on clean water and the ability to make more. Then you can talk about self-defense items, shelter and teamwork and all those other things that are in the plan. But thanks for asking for that. I just want to get people prepared.
Yeah. Well, Chris, thank you for coming on and talking about that. And you can find that what he was talking about there, familyprepplan.info. So thank you very much for that, my friend. And I hope everything goes well. Hope to speak to you again soon as well.
You bet, Johnny. Anytime. Thanks a lot for your time.
Excellent. Awesome. Well, thank you there for Chris, who you can find on x@myreadyfamily.com. Thank you to Alex Dimitrios from spacecommune.com. And thank you to Ryan Graham, of course, from The Independent Review. Those are all great guys who are trying their hardest to improve our lives in some way, in just a little way. Try and get a little bit of information. You've been watching the Johnny Vedmore Show today on today's talk, today's news. Talk TNT. There's a mouthful. Join me tomorrow.